Sid Miller.
My first question is, well, can I stand?
Yes, you can do whatever
you
want.
Do I have to speak into that?
No, if people can
hear you. If I can project so that you can all hear me?
All right. That'd be fun.
Good. See, this is all good.
It's going to be an animated presentation.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do is try to paint a picture of sort of where we are today with water in the area, as far as drought or, you know, sort of maybe say whether the drought's over or not, and then talk a little bit about, try to leave you with some thoughts related to planning and water in the future. And I guess the structure is such that nobody gets to ask me questions as we go along.
I think it would be best if we just let the presentations come, and then people can be framing those clear, concise questions to put on the index cards.
Fair enough. All right. So this is a graph that I developed actually last year because I was a little bit frustrated with television and talking about how many inches below normal, what our rainfall deficit was for the year. Mother Nature doesn't care that our year starts on January 1st, so I don't like having the clock reset on January 1st if the year before was dry. So what this does is each point on this graph is the total amount of rainfall over a 12-month period as of that day, and then compared to the normal amount of rainfall for the year at this particular gauge. So this is a rain gauge that's at Raleigh-Durham Airport. It's the Weather Service field office gauge. Normal annual rainfall is 43 inches a year there. So what you can see is, so in the year 2000, you know, sort of the beginning of the 2001-2002 drought, you can see how at that point it was about 140% of normal. So at 12 months up to that point, relatively wet. And then you can see it head south. And at the height of the drought, you can see down here.
Can you stand up to the side?
Yeah. So down here you can see where it got down to over 14, almost 14 and a half inches below normal, right? And then we had those couple of really nice tropical storms, and we went actually from the driest year on record in North Carolina to the wettest year on record. That's right. And there's a great USGS report about that if you want to read it. Anyway, so you can see it bounce along, and you can see that in April of 2007, we had actually concluded a wet 12-month period. We were almost at that same point. And then you can see that it plummeted quickly. This right here, I think, is in August, where we kind of crossed that line. And then you can see we finished up the year of December almost 12 inches below normal at the end of December. And this is following that nice little rain we got at in the latter part of December. And then where we are as of yesterday, following a nice few days of rain, is still about 11 inches below normal for a 12-month period. So you compare that with the calendar year. As of the calendar year, January 1st, we're 2.4 inches below normal. So that's why I don't like resetting the clock on January 1st. This is another way of looking at it. This is month by month. And so for every month that this rain is, we know what the normal rainfall is for that month. When I say normal, I mean the average. And so going back to October 06, which was very, very close to normal rainfall, October 06, you can see a wet November, and then you can see we start to head south. And so you could kind of, you might be able to say that with respect to precipitation, if precipitation is your measure of drought, that the drought began perhaps in December of 2006. That's when we started getting dry. And so every time, and so what this graph does is it takes that departure from normal, right? whether it's below or above, and it accumulates that as it moves along. And so every time it ticks up, that means that that was an above normal rainfall month. And every time it goes down, that means it was a below normal rainfall month. And you keep doing that, and you end up down here where we are as of March 31st. So March, pretty nice. About a half inch above normal rainfall for the month of March. Normal for March is 4 inches at this gauge. Normal for April is 2.8 inches. So we'll see if we get that. But anyway, this is just another way of looking at the drought. This is a composite picture that you've probably seen on the news or in newspapers. This is something that's published by the U.S. National Weather Service. We have people in North Carolina who consult on this, and this is just zoomed in on North Carolina. So what you can see is that all of the nice rains we've had, you know, so February, a little below normal, March, above normal. This used to be pretty much this dark color here, exceptional drought across the state. And they've, based on precipitation, based on stream flows, based on reservoirs, based on all these different sort of drought indices, they've said that it's gotten better, and we are now only in an extreme level of drought. And so where we are, our reservoirs in the Triangle area are all filled by this kind, this part of the state here, where it's exceptional. So according to this, we're still in drought. This was published by the National Weather Service at the beginning of January, and this was their estimation of what it would take in terms of rainfall to pull us out of drought. So at that time, beginning of January, they were saying if we had 13 to 16 inches of rain, that it would ameliorate the drought. And what they mean is that it would take us from that exceptional level of drought that we were in to something like a moderate level of drought, right? So what we did get was 9 inches. Not the 13 to 16. We got 9 inches. So that's another way of saying that we're probably still in a drought. And they said over a six-month period, if we got this 22 to 26 inches, that would have that sort of same effect. So given that we got 9 inches over these past 3 months, and we would need another 15 inches over April, May, and June in order to, again, ameliorate the drought, to take us to a much lower level of drought. The normal amount of rainfall at this gauge that I've been showing you for the next three-month period is 10 inches. So basically, we would need significantly more than normal rain to take us out of drought. And I do know that the reservoirs are full. This is the latest long-range forecast provided by the National Weather Service Climate Prediction Center. Looking in through June, and basically they're saying that we should see some improvement in the drought situation in our area of North Carolina. And we are starting to see some of that. Having said that, so we've experienced a bad drought, right? And we're probably still in it. And it has been, in some ways, a drought of record. What this is a graphic that is based on a study of tree rings, growth in trees, springtime growth specifically, going all the way back to 1185. So that was an old tree. And what they've done is they've correlated that growth with precipitation, and then they've turned it into this drought index. So this is called the Palmer Hydrologic Drought Index, and you can see it goes from a -4 to a +4. So when it goes below the zero number, then that's a drought situation. When it's at a -2 or lower, that's in severe or worse drought. So what you can see is, in our period of record, which extends basically in the 1900s, we've had a couple of bad droughts. This is probably the 33, which is one of our worst droughts at the time. And you can see where it falls on this. But what you can also see is that drought is a normal situation in North Carolina. We've had some really bad droughts in the past, and we've had droughts worse than anything that we've ever experienced in our period of record, going back to 1900. So I say that not to give an indication that, oh, this is not so bad, but rather to say that drought is a normal occurrence in North Carolina, and we can have worse droughts than any of us in the room have seen. So, enough about drought. I wanted to leave you with a few thoughts about planning. Can everyone see this? Yeah? I'm not going to read it. It's a great cartoon. So there's some immediate things that local governments have been doing with respect to drought. And these are, I think, are smart things, and they've all been engaged in it to some extent. Making highly treated wastewater available in bulk. So those are available to anyone. Typically, you can fall off at least 200 gallons at a time. And it can be used for irrigation. It can be used for some business processes, I understand. And basically, that's just a way of trying to take some of the pressure off the potable water system. Mass media public education. We've actually started seeing the governor on television talking about drought and conservation. You can argue that maybe it's a little late, but it's also possible that it really is right on time, because we're in a very vulnerable situation right now, given that groundwater is so low that even if we have a normal pattern of precipitation this summer, you could see those reservoir levels drop very, very quickly. So we're in a very vulnerable situation, and I think having the governor on television right now is a good idea to keep that in people's minds. And then you also see some of these, some of the local governments looking at their water shortage response ordinances, their water conservation rules, making some minor changes, and looking at, certainly considering what they need to do in the future. Some short-term things that you're also starting to see, you're seeing some of these localities expand their interconnections. So Durham's working on that with the town of Cary, for example. Some of these, some of them are starting to examine their utility rates and considering what's frequently being called conservation rates, or increasing block rates, or increasing the rate of their increasing block rates. Looking at water shortage surcharges that can be added on in times of drought. Starting to see a greater emphasis on water conservation and the acknowledgement that water conservation needs to be a year-round, always-happening mindset. An emphasis on increasing water use efficiency, so looking at your end-use appliances, looking at how water is used. A lot of localities are putting in water reuse systems, so taking that highly treated reclaimed wastewater and making it available through a permanent distribution system so that places like golf courses, places like industrial processes, universities that have large chiller facilities, that sort of thing, can make use of the highly treated wastewater. And then one other thing that I think we really need to be doing more of is looking at our landscaping. How we're doing our landscaping, and getting away from this thought that all yards should look like England. We've just started working on the Neuse River Basin hydrologic model. It's more exciting than it sounds. Really.
It would have to be.
It's an essential planning tool, and it's something that we really need, and if we had started it when we wanted to, it would have been done by now. We'd be using it. Nevertheless, we've started on it. One thing I think we can all be doing is pressuring the state to provide more funding support for these regional solutions. The state could be doing more. This is a picture of the Cape Fear hydrologic model. just so these are all little these. This basically, it's a mathematical model that represents the system, the hydrologic system of a river basin, and it can be used to do things like estimate how much a reservoir can yield under which conditions. It can be used to for planning purposes, such as answering the question of if we grow by 100% over the next X years, what's that going to mean to stream flows? What's that going to mean to our downstream neighbors? That sort of thing. But once we have both of these models, the Cape Fear model and the Neuse model, we'll be able to do much better planning for the Triangle region. And then looking farther out, all local governments are now looking at their water supply reliability and their triggers, the triggers at which they react in whatever defined way with respect to water shortage. People don't realize that. Okay, so I showed you all kinds of graphs that show how variable our precipitation is, right? You don't know what it's going to do tomorrow. I mean, the Weather Service will tell you what it might do in the next few days, and they're much better at telling you what happened than what will happen. So North Carolina is even more variable in climate than most other places in the United States. So it's difficult to estimate how much water is available from any given source. We can do a better job with reservoirs than streams, of course. So use all kinds of statistical models to estimate what a safe yield might be. And so you'll hear terms like a 20-year safe yield or a 50-year safe yield, and you'll hear a number. So for example, for the city of Durham, 37 million gallons a day is the estimated 50-year return period safe yield. And what does that mean? That means most of the time you can get 37 million gallons a day out of that reservoir, out of the two reservoirs. Most of the time. There is a 2% chance any given year you're not going to get it. That's what it means. And guess what? When we have a drought, you might not get it. So one of the things that this drought has made us all aware of is that the public is not comfortable with reservoirs dropping so low, and yet the reservoirs were designed to do just that. So that's just another thing to consider when we're talking about resetting our triggers. Regional optimization, we can move water between systems on a regular basis in such a way that it reduces the risk for all of the systems involved. And that's a study that's ongoing right now, actually, with some people at UNC Chapel Hill, Orange Water and Sewer Authority, the City of Durham, and the Town of Cary. Holds great promise. A Triangle Region Long-Range Water Supply Plan. Once we have those two really exciting hydrologic models, we'll be able to do much better planning for the Triangle Region. We'll be able to answer such questions as, if we grow to be so big by the year 2050, is there enough water for that? Under what conditions is there enough water? You've probably heard talk about a partnership to develop a western intake in Jordan Lake. That's something that will continue to move forward, I'm sure. Jordan Lake has a lot of underused capacity as far as water supply storage. Jordan Lake has a very large, has a 1,686 square mile watershed, which is about 2.5 times the watershed of Falls Lake, for example. It's a great resource, and it's in our region, and it makes sense to make use of it. Infrastructure rehabilitation. You've heard a lot in the news about leaking systems. The reason they're leaking is because the pipes are old, and it takes money to replace the pipes. And you have to fund your utilities at a sufficient level that you can replace that infrastructure before it starts failing, before the design life is at an end for those pipes. So that's another thing that all of these systems are looking at. And I think that's all I want to say about this stuff. Yes, it is. Now on to you, Bill.
That's an important one.